People think we just pass laws, appropriate money, then you forget about it. No, you're part of the checks and balances of the government. And then you got to make sure that the president, Republican or Democrat, faithfully execute those laws.
I'm Dan Diamond. This is Pulse Check, and that was Senator Chuck Grassley, the longtime Iowa Republican, sitting down with me on Monday afternoon. As of this month, Senator Grassley is again head of the Senate Finance Committee, where he's poised to be one of Washington's most important players on health care. This week, he's kicking off the committee's look at drug prices, and we discussed those efforts, his approach to oversight, and more. A heads up that we were sitting in the senator's office on Capitol Hill, so you'll hear some background noise, including the clock chime. And check the show notes for links to what the senator and I discussed, from his policy positions to his old tweets. Just a reminder that if you like Pulse Check, you can help us by rating or reviewing the show on your favorite podcast app. Search for Politico Pulse Check. In their previous episodes with some of Senator Grassley's colleagues, Senator Bill Cassidy, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Lamar Alexander, just look in the archives. You can find those episodes too. And with that, here's my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. Senator Chuck Grassley, welcome to Politico Pulse Check.
Hey, I'm glad to be with you. Anytime I get a chance to communicate with my constituents, that's what representative government's all about. And I hope they communicate back.
Well, you're always communicating. You have so many different paths from sitting down with someone like me to using social media, which we will get to. But I wanted to start with this. It's a new Congress. You have a number of new responsibilities, including your president pro tempore of the Senate. This is significant responsibility. You're fourth in line now for succession to the president. I'm curious, what in your realm of new responsibilities has been most interesting or surprising to you as president pro tem?
I think the number of duties that the code requires that really has not a lot of discretion. It's mostly ministerial or maybe you'd say ceremonial. But really, if you summed it up, the president of the Senate is the Vice President of the United States. But as you probably know, in the last 70 years, I think starting with Nixon when he was Vice President, Vice Presidents haven't presided over the Senate or be involved in the Senate very much, except for vote-breaking ties and then ceremonial things. So I like to sum it up that President pro tem, outside of being in presidential succession, does whatever the President of the United States or the Vice President of the United States does as President of the Senate, only you do it when he's not here, which is about 99% of the time.
Does your staff now call you Mr. President behind closed doors?
No, they call me Chuck.
I'm not at that level, so I'll have to refer to you as Senator Grassley. You're chairman again for the third time of the Senate Finance Committee after giving up leadership of the Judiciary Committee. I'm curious why you decided to come back. Did you feel like there was unfinished business?
Yeah. It's because of the silly rules of the Republican caucus. When you use up your 6 years of being chairman of a committee, then you can't be ranking member for 6 years or whatever you have left to be. So I've used up my 6 years being chairman of the Finance Committee. I haven't used up my 6 years being ranking member of Judiciary. So I spend 2 years, the last 2 years of a six-year obligation for finance. So if we're in the minority, 21 and 22, I can still be ranking member of Judiciary. Now, I could also choose to be chairman or ranking member of budget, but I'm not sure that that interests me.
The Judiciary Committee also had a lot of circus-like hearings the past couple of years. You presided over the Judge Kavanaugh hearing. Was that a factor at all in thinking about moving back over to finance?
No. One factor that is true of Judiciary, not true of finance, almost every Thursday you have an executive hearing, or I mean an executive meeting. So you do legislation or do nominations. The Finance Committee has executive sessions, but not on a regular basis. And so I think that I can spend more time on hearings, where I had to share so many hearings in the Judiciary Committee with other members of the committee, so I could do all the other responsibilities I have, particularly meeting with Iowans when they're in Washington. I'll have more flexibility now being chairman of finance.
Thinking about finance, you famously partnered with Democrat Senator Max Baucus for years, the two of you switching off as committee head and ranking member. Do you think you'll have a similar relationship and rapport with Senator Ron Wyden, the current Democrat who's ranking member on the committee?
Everything that I've done with Ron Wyden so far, but a lot of it outside of the Finance Committee, we've worked very well together. And I'm starting out this year that we'll be able to work together. But you remember, between 2001 and 2009, the political environment then, not so ideologically divided at the grassroots of America, is much more ideologically divided at the grassroots. So I think Congress represents that ideological divide, and I believe that just the realities of politics 2018, 2019, make it more difficult to duplicate the very close working relationship that I had with Max Baucus, because every bill, but maybe two or three that got out of committee, were bipartisan. The only one I can remember is Obamacare that got out of committee that wasn't bipartisan. And we've had lately more division, even under Senator Hatch's chairmanship in recent years, than normally what you'd have. But that's got nothing to do with Biden and I getting along or not getting along. That's just kind of the reality of the political situation in America today, reflected then in the Congress.
Well, then thinking maybe beyond Senator Wyden, your committee has taken up drug pricing issues. You and Senator Wyden have worked somewhat on drug pricing already, but it's more than just the two of you. And on the committee, there are some Democrats who really are aggressive about what they want to do on drug pricing, and there are some Republicans who don't seem all that interested in doing much at all. How do you view your role? How are you going to bring them together as committee chairman to do something on drug pricing?
I think it's going to be very easy. I think almost on anything except a Democrat effort to have the government dictate prices. I'm a free market person. I'm chairman when Part D was passed. I was chairman during Part D when even Kennedy was against the government dictating prices, negotiating prices. And so I come from an area where we wanted to give seniors maximum opportunity of choice. We didn't want the government establishing limits on formularies. And we wanted a whole lot of different plans, not just one plan. So we set this up, and the success of Part D is measured by the fact that it's the only government program I've ever been involved in that has come in way under budget. And I mean way under budget. And so, except for that issue, I think that we can do a lot of things together. Now, I do believe that there are some things wrong with Part D, and I would use the word I'm going to be looking at modernizing Part D, but it would come up short of the government negotiating prices.
What do you think is wrong with Part D?
Not enough transparency. Transparency brings accountability. Why should we have so much secrecy like we have with PBMs? Why should we have drug prices that cost $1,000 a month, but maybe if you talk to us, we can give them to you free? Kind of the principle that shouldn't we have one price and everybody pay the same price? What's wrong with putting on television the price of a drug if the law requires you to tell all the side effects?
This was an effort that your office helped lead last year, the idea to put drug prices in TV ads.
With Durbin. So another bipartisan thing we got going there. But I think transparency brings accountability. And, you know, let the market work, but shouldn't the public know what the market is doing?
So the red line here is the government getting involved in, like, negotiating prices. You think that that is not what the government should be doing?
When you have the success of Part D that we've had of premiums being... premiums aren't any higher today than we were afraid if we started out with something more than $35, we wouldn't get people to join the program. And that's 15 years ago. And we still aren't up to that point yet.
Do you have personal experience, either you or your family members, with high drug prices? Is that one reason why you might be inclined to take action here?
I can't say so, but from my constituents, I've heard so much about it. And not only that, it isn't just what the price is today. It's what the price was yesterday. And my God, it's gone up 500% overnight. You know, you kind of, there's nothing wrong with the marketplace working. In fact, that's what you want. But does that sound like the marketplace?
Well, I'm curious. Do you think that's because there are a few bad actors who are driving up prices, or is this a system-wide problem that needs deeper reforms?
The lack of transparency, it's a system-wide problem. From the standpoint of what might be justified with a particular company, I'd have to look at that particular company to come to a particular conclusion. So that's why we are starting our hearings, and we're going to have a lot of hearings on drug pricing. And by the way, these hearings and talking to Senator Wyden, as you asked me previously, I think this is one place where he and I can have a very close working relationship.
The pharma industry has been worried about drug pricing coming from Capitol Hill, drug pricing efforts. They've been less worried about the Finance Committee than some of the Democrat-led House committees. And the industry has shrugged at times. Here's a note from industry group Cowen Washington Research Group. Quote, SFC Chair Grassley lays out drug pricing agenda that won't scare drug makers. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm not out to scare anybody. I'm just out to have transparency so that the public can look at something and said, this is reasonable or this is unreasonable. What you quoted, were they saying they don't have anything to worry about, Chuck Grassley? Is that what they said?
More or less.
Okay. I think I showed my colors on pay for delay. And creates, as an example, of two pieces of legislation. Doesn't have to be in the committee I'm chairman of, but I was chairman of that committee, and we moved creates out of committee 16-5.
One last drug pricing question. You mentioned the hearings that are kicking off this week on Tuesday. You're going to have a lot of drug pricing hearings over your time leading this committee. Where do you need to get to? What needs to come out of this committee over the next 2 years?
Well, you've heard me say it twice, one simple word, transparency, but I don't want to lead your listeners to believe that when I say transparency, it sounds pretty simple. It's going to be tough to get that because I think the secrecy we have now or the lack of transparency is something that that allows the shenanigans that we read about every day to go forth. But transparency brings accountability, but I don't want those two words to be thinking that that's where I'm going to stop. But that's kind of a common denominator, kind of a common sense common denominator.
Shifting gears a bit to an area that you have pushed transparency on, hospitals. When you were leading the Senate Finance Committee, when you were a ranking member, I remember this because I was a hospital consultant at the time. You were pushing regulations to make not-for-profit hospitals demonstrate that they deserved that status. There were hospital executives who were really worried about you back then. Should hospital leaders be worried now? Are you going to revisit any of those hospital regulations?
I don't know whether I would say that I'm going to visit particular regulations, but I'm going to, in oversight work, and then what that leads to, I don't know, but through oversight work, I intend to make sure that nonprofit hospitals meet their nonprofit responsibilities, and that is to serve people that can't pay for their services.
What about high bills, surprise bills? Some of that has gotten attention in the media the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's another place where you get transparency. And you can apply the same principle to the local pharmacist that thinks he can charge such and such for a drug. Maybe in October, at the end of getting near the end of the year, he gets a big bill. He's got to pay the PBMs back a lot of money. Why the big surprise? I don't understand it.
I've always wondered this about you, Senator. I've heard you speak about transparency, accountability, oversight, investigations. I've talked to your staff about oversight-driven legislation. Was there a moment in your career where this all crystallized for you, where you realized this is how I want to be as a senator? These are the things I'm going to focus on?
In 1983, I went to the Defense Department to get some information on cost overruns, and I wanted to see a civil servant by the name of Chuck Spinney that was in the expert on this. I was met by a Dr. Hsu, who was speaking for Secretary Weinberger, that said, well, I'll talk to you, but we can't have you talk to the civil servants. I said, I want to see Chuck Spinney. You can come if you want to. So I couldn't see Chuck Spinney. So
they wouldn't let you see the civil servant. Interesting.
I went back to Capitol Hill, and Weinberger called me up and said, we Republicans can't rely on these civil servants.
This is the defense secretary under Reagan.
Yeah. And I said, I'm going to get Chuck Spinney one way or the other. And within 3 weeks or so, we had a joint meeting of the Budget Committee and the Armed Services Committee in the Russell Caucus Room with 8 television cameras, and I don't know whether 500 people or 300 people were watching, and we had Chuck Spinney there, and we got the testimony we wanted, and Monday morning Chuck Spinney's face was on the cover of Time magazine. So that's why I decided, you know, you don't mess around with these people.
And ever since then, you've been doing your oversight-driven investigations.
Well, not only that, but it's a constitutional responsibility. You know, people think we just pass laws, appropriate money, then you forget about it. No, you're part of the checks and balances of the government. And then you got to make sure that the president, Republican or Democrat, faithfully execute those laws.
I heard you giving a floor speech on this last week when you were accepting your role as president pro tem. You said, quote, by conducting oversight and investigations, we hold the executive branch responsible to taxpayers, no matter which party is in power. How do you plan to hold the Trump administration accountable?
I hope I've already done it. Within the first month he was in office, he sent a letter around, they issued an edict that they're only going to answer letter for committee chairman. Well, look at it. Between the House and Senate, there's about 40 or 50 committee chairmen. What are you going to do about the other 485? You're just going to forget about them? They're non-entities? So we wrote them a 7-page letter. Within a couple weeks, they were up here talking to us. Maybe they came up to talk us out of our position. We talked to them for maybe an hour. A couple months later, they issued another letter saying that they were going to answer questions for any member of Congress.
And that has established your willingness to push, you think, on the Trump administration.
You know, in fact, when I'm doing it, when we have a Republican president, my colleagues say, well, why would you raise these questions with a Republican president? It doesn't matter whether you have a Republican president or a Democrat president. We still got the same constitutional responsibility to make sure that the laws are executed the way we intend them.
One more oversight question. Senator Wyden has pushed on the border separation policy by the Trump administration. You raised concerns on this last year, too. Finance has jurisdiction over HHS. Are you going to hold any hearings on border separations?
Not as of now, but I wouldn't say I wouldn't. But I did hold hearings on that when I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
You did. Wrapping up, because I know time is precious, You've been famously on Twitter for years, and your first tweet was from November 2007. That was before I tweeted. That's before a lot of reporters I know tweeted. And your 2012 tweet, Assume Deer Dead, is one of the all-time classics of the political genre. I know you've talked about being on Twitter and reaching your constituents. Why did you decide to get on so early?
For the same reason I decided to have satellite communication with my constituents on public television from here. They could call in their questions. Same reason that maybe my staff, I don't remember this, but my staff was said I was one of the first senators to make use of the fax machine. Now, you don't even know what a fax machine is. See,
I've seen them in museums.
Or
in doctor's offices, actually. Yeah.
In other words, I hold town meetings, like, you know, in each one of the 99 counties every year, Q&A. Whatever you can do to get your message out, whatever you can do to encourage constituents to react to what you have, dialogue is the essence of representative government, and Twitter is just one way of getting some dialogue.
Well, I guess what I'm curious about was there Senator Chuck Grassley at 11 o'clock at night logging on to Twitter? Did a staff member tell you about it?
Yeah. There's no way. What, 10 years ago, even at age 75, I'm not sure that I'd be alerted to it, but I like it now, and I'm glad some staff person was inventive enough to get me on it. They're the same ones that got me on the fax machine.
Well, maybe generationally a little different. There are younger members of Congress who are turning to social media, following in your footsteps. Beto O'Rourke Instagrammed his dental cleaning. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is on social media a lot. Are you planning to Instagram your dental cleaning? Do you have any advice for these younger members since you've been doing this?
I'm trying to do along that line, I'm trying to educate them about farming, because 2% of the people in this feed the other 98%. So people need to know something about farming and appreciate it. So you can watch my corn watch as an example.
It's hot social content.
I got 23 weeks of it. Go back and look at each one of them so you can find out how corn goes from putting the seed in the ground to putting it at the local elevator.
Senator, I promise you we will include links to that in our show notes for this podcast. Last question. We were talking about this before we started recording. You were elected to the Senate in 1980. You have had this job as long as I've been alive. Now, I've talked to your colleagues, we even talked a little bit about this too, about the golden age of Congress feels like it's past. Was there a window in your 38 years in the Senate where you felt like things were great? Because even 10 years ago, there was certainly a lot of partisanship.
It's a lot different now than when I came, but the evolution happened so slowly, maybe a little faster in the last 10 years, that it's hard for me to give you a window. I could give you a window on judges becoming so controversial, but generally speaking, it's kind of like, you know, you put a frog in cold water, heat it up to a boil and they die, but you throw them in the boiling water, they jump out. It happens so slowly that I wouldn't want to say.
You talk about the frog in the boiling water. How does the water get cooled down? Is it even possible at this point?
It's got to be possible. First of all, I don't think the country is going to be as ideologically divided as the grassroots forever like it is now. And if you expect Congress to be a reflection of the grassroots, you shouldn't be surprised when the coasts are blue and the center of the state, a country, is bright red, that Congress wouldn't reflect that.
Do you feel like that frog in the boiling water?
Well, I hope that things change. I do. I want people to see things that in America we tend to get to the middle eventually. We still have to get to the middle or nothing's going to get done. The only thing is it's a little tougher to get to the middle today than it has been.
Well, Senator Chuck Grassley, we will watch you in the drug pricing hearings and see if you can make it to the middle there. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Pulse Check. My thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley and his team. who made time to sit down after months of me bugging them, Micaela Rodriguez, Sarah Overmull, and Dave Shaw on our side for producing the show. You can find Pulse Check on all of your favorite podcast apps. Just search for Politico Pulse Check. You can find me at ddiamond@politico.com by email. You can find a new episode of Politico Pulse Check in your podcast player very soon.